And if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 1 this morning. And the title of the message this morning is How to Serve Our Country. How to Serve Our Country. And you know, you immediately when you ask that question, you think, well, are you military age? Because, you know, serving your country, you kind of associate that with someone in military service. And that's true. That's a tremendous way to serve our country. I watched a documentary here recently, or a movie that was based upon a true story called Unbroken. And man, it's powerful to see how people have sacrificed tremendously. Get a chance to watch that. It's hard to watch, but if you get a chance to watch that, what was the gentleman's name? Jay, you have to help me out with this. Louis Zamborini. Man, if you get a chance to watch that, it will make you much more thankful for this country and what it took for us to be able to be standing here this morning. But we automatically think about, you know, something like military service or something like that. But what I'm talking about this morning extends well beyond that. And is actually more transcendent. It's actually, I think, not just about what you can, you know, how you can serve your country in this life, but I mean even eternally. Thinking about eternal things, thinking about, I mean, the biggest question of how to serve our country. And the number one thing I would say is to pray for our country, to pray for our fellow citizens, to pray for our leaders, to pray for our local leaders, our state leaders, our national leaders. And I need to do that more. See, we talk about that all the time. You know, and actually, if we don't do that, we're disobedient, because God commands us to pray for our leaders. Commands us to. And you know, when you think about that, when I say that's the most important thing we can do, we have access to the infinite God. And, you know, He can do things we could never do. What we need to happen, what I believe that needs to happen, is hearts and minds need to change. I can't change a person's mind. Now, I can talk to someone, I can share the truth with someone, but I can't ultimately... Here's the thing, is the truth is never undeniable. You can deny it. It's the truth, you can't refute it, it's true, but you can choose to deny it, you can reject it. That's where God has to do a work on the heart. We can present the truth to people, but in order for them to receive it in their heart and for it to change their mind, it takes God to do that. That's why we have to pray to the infinite God. We have access now to the infinite God. Let's see, can y'all scoot up a little bit and make some room for some chairs there? We have some visitors coming in back there. If y'all could, I know we're Baptists, so we can't, you have to get up and maybe move to a different chair to spread down a little bit. If we can give up a few chairs. Let's see, I think if the Daniels could step back, maybe, yeah. There we go. Okay, thank you. I'm trying to, if we can, yeah, spread those around and share a little bit. So, okay. But as we're thinking about this question, how to serve our country, I would say number one is to pray, because if we don't do that, it doesn't matter what we do. If we don't pray, if you're not going to pray for our country, then whatever else you do is going to be in vain, because it's going to take God to do the work. But second to that, and we could spend all morning just talking about that. But the second thing I would say is, you know, if we think about this morning and look at this objectively as we can. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for reconfiguring there. If we think about this question some more, how to serve our country, I would ask the question, what's the state of our country? What is the state of our country? What's the state of our society? What does our nation need? What does our country need? What's wrong? What's wrong? Now, in Psalm 1, if you're turned there, I would ask you, if you would, to stand in honor of God's Word. Stand one more time here as we read this together. Psalm 1. I want you to listen to what this says. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Let's Lord in prayer together. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. God, it's amazing how true these words are. It's amazing how we see them unfolding before our eyes today. God, I pray that we would do just as this psalm says, that we would meditate upon what we've just heard, that we would receive it, and God, we would be transformed by it, that we would take this seriously, we would understand that, God, there are serious consequences to ungodly counsel. God, help us, give us understanding, give us wisdom. God, help us, Lord, to be Christ-centered in everything we do. We recognize that Christ is truth and wisdom and love personified. And God, we have to follow Him. Anything else, anything other than His path, than following Him, is a dead end. And God, we're going to find that out ultimately. And we're going to find it out the hard way if we do not examine ourselves, repent, and follow You. God, I pray that You would get our attention this morning, that God, You would shake us, that You would wake us up. Maybe You've already been sowing those seeds in our life, God, to wake us up, allowing things, maybe breaking up that ground to be prepared for the seed of Your Word. That God, we're recognizing that this ain't working. Doing things our way, trying to be our own God, is an unbelievable failure. And we're beginning to see the obvious signs of that, the consequences of that. God, help us, Lord, to receive this morning, God, to be changed and be transformed by You and by Your Word, by Your revelation. Not by me, not by my words, not what I can say, but God, what You have revealed. God, transform us here this morning. God, we pray for Your power to be manifested now during this time, God, in just an incredible way. We pray and ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. So Psalm 1. And we have a lot of problems today, and I think that Psalm 1 boils it down and diagnoses the root issue well. Because I think that a lot of the debate, a lot of things that are happening, we're really having an outcry, an outrage about the symptoms, but not really what the actual problem is, not the root of the problem. And I think that Psalm 1 tells us what the root issue is. And the root issue is this. If you look at our society and say, what's happened? I feel like we're off track. How did we get off track? How do we get back on track? What is the issue? What has gotten us off track? And I would say this. We have received and are receiving bad counsel. Bad counsel. Ungodly counsel. We are deceived. It's deception. In fact, we have been given and are being given terrible advice about life. Terrible advice. And it's a big deal. Because ungodly counsel, bad counsel, destroys lives. That's what you notice the end of this psalm says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, what shall happen to it?" What happens to the way of a person, of the ungodly person? What happens? They perish. That's destruction. Ungodly counsel, bad counsel destroys lives. Let me put it this way. What's the opposite of blessing? What's the opposite of being blessed? Cursed. Read Psalm 1 in reverse. Cursed is the man that walketh in the counsel of the ungodly and standeth in the way of sinners and sitteth in the scornful. Cursed is the man that walketh in the counsel of the ungodly. You will be cursed. Well, you know, I think I can do this and I'll be fine. You won't be fine, you'll be cursed. And I encounter people's lives, their life is cursed. And they're saying, why is my life so cursed? Why is everything going wrong? Why is nothing right? Why is it just constant outrage and chaos? Because it's cursed. You know why? Because you're following ungodly counsel. And God told you that. God told you that 3,000 years ago in Psalm 1. You better be listening. Or don't. I mean, you don't have to listen. That's fine. But the consequences will come. You can say, I reject it. As I said earlier, the truth is rejectable. You can reject it. You can deny it. But you cannot refute it and you cannot change it. Following ungodly counsel will result in cursing and you will perish. It will result in destruction. God has told us that. He's warned us about that because He loves us. But you have to make your choice and so do I. And that is where we're at. That's what I would say today. We're cursed. Individuals are cursed. Marriages are cursed. Families are cursed. Communities are cursed. Our nation is cursed. If you follow, this applies to this. It's talking about the individual. This isn't talking about a nation. But as an individual, if you follow ungodly counsel, you will be cursed. That's the warning. And it's a true warning. The well of ideas and beliefs have been poisoned by lies and falsehood. And now, as described in verse 4, we're like the chaff. You know what chaff is? It's the shell or the casing that's around a piece of wheat. And when you separate it from the wheat, it's just this light. I mean, it just blows right out of your hand. They would gather wheat or they'd gather grain in, and they would hit it with a fan, and it just blows the chaff away and the grain remains, because the grain has some substance to it, and the chaff is just as light as the air. It just blows with the air. And it compares those that follow after, that walk in the counsel of the ungodly, it compares them as chaff. The ungodly are like chaff. They're blown about by the wind. We blow whichever way the wind blows. Weak, unstable, no foundation. It's contrasted to a tree with roots that produces fruit. A tree doesn't blow around. Chaff just blows away. There's no root system. There's no foundation. Do you want to be like a tree? Or do you want to be like chaff, that whichever way the wind blows, you just blow with the wind? You just believe whatever you heard last is what you believe. That's what it's like to follow the counsel of the ungodly. Or like the chaff which the wind blows away. Let me summarize. It's so easy to sit up here and talk about, things like the well of ideas and beliefs have been poisoned by lies and falsehood. I can throw that out there and you can say, yeah, that's true, but that's so broad, it's so general. Let me be more specific, and let me summarize the counsel of our day. And I would attribute a lot of this to modern psychology, which has infiltrated our politics, our legal system, our education system, entertainment, academia. It's penetrated all of those things. And this is what it's like. Number one, there is no God. Right out of the gate, you're dead. Because there is a God. So you're already blind. You've already missed the absolute biggest question in life. You've already failed that test. You've missed, and that is a critical question. You miss that question, you fail the test. I don't care what you say next. But the counsel we receive is this: there is no God. Atheism, agnosticism, naturalism. It's just the natural. There is no God. And then that immediately flows into this statement. This is the counsel we receive in our society today. This is what we are told. Life has no meaning, but go out there and pretend like it does. And for some reason, that's not working. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You know it's going to fail. We are telling people, kids are taught this in school, we are told life has no meaning. You're a cosmic accident. But go pretend like you're not. That's going to fail. Life doesn't matter. How you live your life doesn't matter. Life is meaningless. Pretend like it isn't. Is that not what's being told today? It's complete schizophrenia. It is a self-contradiction. It's not just false. It can't be true. But we believe it. This is the counsel of our day. There is no God. Life has no meaning, but pretend like it does. Life is meaningless. Pretend like it isn't. And also, so it's completely meaningless, but now I'm just going to shift gears schizophrenically and say, but the answer to your problems lies within, as if an answer exists if there is no meaning. But so now we're going to pretend like there is meaning, even though we know there's not, and we're going to pretend that there are answers, even though there aren't. But the answer, if there is an answer, it lies within you. You are the answer. The answer is inside. The answer lies within. Any cartoon you see, any movie you see, the moral of the story is always the answer, the strength and the answer was lying within you all along. You were the solution. And if you have problems, everyone else is the cause. You're the solution, everybody else is the problem. And everything I just rattled off is exactly wrong. It's 180 degrees out. It is the opposite of the truth. But that's generally summarizing the belief of our culture today. The counsel we receive today, it is exactly wrong. And these false ideas have consequences. Why do we have mass shootings? Because life has no meaning. And everybody cries and acts like it's very sad, as if life does have meaning, while they've denied that previously. These false ideas have consequences and will result in destruction, just as God warned that they would. And they are all around us. We're witnessing it every day. As I say, the chaff, I'll put it this way, I know people who will literally believe anything. they'll believe anything. That's like chaff. I can blow chaff anywhere I want to blow it. It will go. It is completely defenseless. I can say any lie I want to, and it will be believed without hesitation. No truth, no stability, no content, because we've received and we believe and we walk in ungodly counsel. And we're witnessing it before our very eyes today. However, I will say this. I think there's some good news here. People are beginning to realize that the current course that we are on is an unsustainable dead end. People are beginning to realize that. And I think because of that, they're saying, okay, where's my white flag? I'm going to wave it and say, okay, I don't have the answers. Obviously, I don't have the answers. Obviously, we don't have the answers. This current course is an unsustainable dead end. And I think people are beginning to look for real answers. And therefore, I feel like we could be primed for revival where people are saying, I need some real answers here. I believe that could be the case if we'll seize the opportunity. If we won't be discouraged, if we don't give up, I think people are, you know, you have to let those seeds grow. When those seeds begin to grow, they begin to reap what they sow. Suddenly they realize, I don't want to sow like this anymore. That's where you come in. That's where I come in. I believe that as bad as things are right now, how the truth is just being trampled. I think about Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He said that the night before he was crucified, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the truth. The next day, what did we do with the truth? We crucified the truth. And arguably, you could say, literally, we crucified the truth, but figuratively, you could say the truth is crucified every single day. We're still crucifying the truth every single day. But I think we're beginning to realize we might need that truth that we continually crucify on the altar of self, that we might actually need that truth. We might start changing our mind and begin to worship the one that we crucify, who is Jesus Christ, who is the truth. I think we could get to that point, but we need to be ready for that to happen. I do see that, and I'm just looking at individuals' lives, but I see people who are asking big questions, who are wanting to have conversations they would have never had any other way, but they're beginning to feel the consequences of their ideas, the consequences of their belief. And as I say that, I believe we are therefore primed, we are primed for the possibility of revival, but someone has to provide true counsel. Someone has to be there to provide true counsel, good counsel. Who's going to do it? Who's it going to be? Where are they going to find it to give it to others? The answer lies in Psalm 1, verse 2. By contrast, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but rather the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate, not just on Sunday morning, on his law doth he meditate day and night. Continually meditating upon the law of the Lord, the Word of God, the revelation of God. That is where we find the truth, and there is no other source. The law of God, the Word of God. Let me emphasize this, not your opinions. Your opinions can't help anybody. And that's where the church gets compromised is, we want to give people the Word of God and the gospel and the truth, but we want to smuggle a little bit of my views in there too, and a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, and it corrupts everything. Take out, purge out, cut out your opinions and your views, which are garbage, which are chaff, and stick with the Word of God. We have to repent ourselves, and we have to examine ourselves continually to say, now wait a minute, am I putting my little twist on that Scripture? If so, untwist it and tell people the truth. It starts with us. We have to change our heart. We have to believe the Word of God. We don't give ourselves exemptions or exceptions. We don't twist the Word. We need to give the Word truly and leave our opinions out of it. The church is destroying its witness. It's losing its credibility because we want to preach our opinions instead of the Word of God. But we need the truth today. We need people who know the truth, who understand the truth, who can bear witness to the truth, and who can explain the truth to somebody else. You take for granted how firm a foundation you have in your life. You need to recognize how firm that foundation is. And you need to be ready to share with other people, this is why it's my foundation. This is why it's the only foundation, which is Christ, which is God, which is the Word of God. We need to be able to explain why it is the truth. We need to recognize it's the opposite of everything I said earlier. There is no God. False. There is a God. Life has no meaning. That's a lie. Life does have meaning. Your life matters tremendously. If someone tells you otherwise, they are lying to you. Your life matters. Life has meaning. How you live your life matters. How you conduct yourself matters. The decisions you make matter. That's the truth. And here's the thing. I can prove it. I can prove that there is a God. I can prove that life matters. I can prove that your life has meaning. I can prove that your decisions and how you live your life matters. If you don't believe me, we're going to have a lunch here in a few minutes. Come and talk to me about it. I can prove to you that this is true. And the person who opposes what I'm saying, ask them to prove that that's true. And as a matter of fact, I'd love to meet with them too and have to sit down and have the conversation and say, here's how I've come to my conclusions based upon what God has revealed. You tell me if you come to your conclusions. We'll see which one stands. Most people won't even have the conversation because they know what they're standing on, nothing. Their feet are planted firmly in midair, just like chaff. Your life matters. There is a God. God matters. God matters infinitely. You're created in His image. Your life matters. How you live your life matters. People need to know this because they don't believe it's true. They've been taught that that's not true. We have to tell them otherwise. We have to engage. And I say all that to say Christians, followers of Christ, we, believe it or not, I mean, I understand, we want to be humble. We don't want to be bulldozers, steamrollers. We want to be prideful and boastful. We want to be humble, but understand this, we have answers. We really do have answers. We have the answers to the biggest questions of life. We have them. And it is not humble to not share them with other people. That's not humble. It's cowardly. We do have answers. Christians, followers of Christ, have answers. We have found the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ, the infinite Son of God, who is Savior. By the way, we need saving. We need salvation. We need to be restored to God, reconciled to God. Jesus Christ is Savior and He is Lord. He is Lord of all. He has all power and authority. That is the truth. The last scripture I want to look at very quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're getting ready to close with this in just a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is the truth. This is the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Do you believe that's true? It is true. Well, oh, you don't believe that's true? You're wrong. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Do you need to be a new creature? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ. That's the key. We have to be reconciled to God. Do you understand how, when I say that counseling is a big deal, you know what resulted in the fall of man? You know how we got into a fallen world, a fallen state that we're in, separated from God, severed from God because of sin? We received bad advice and bad counsel in the garden. We disbelieved the counsel of God, godly counsel. We believed ungodly counsel. That's what resulted in the fall of man, separation from God. It seems mysterious, but that's our condition today, is that we've been separated from God because we believed ungodly counsel. The key is we've got to be reconciled to God. We've been separated from God because of sin. We have to be reconciled to God, and that can only happen through Jesus Christ. That's the key to everything, is reconciliation with God, a restored relationship with God. Old things passed away, things become new, being a new creature in Christ, being born again in Jesus Christ. And then we recognize all things are of God. Everything's of God. Everything is theological. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Now listen to what it says next. So step one is you must know Jesus Christ and have been reconciled to God. And we were created. Understand that we were created, our nature, and created in the image of God, is we were created for communion with God. Even in our pre-fallen state, we weren't autonomous. We still needed God. Even before we sinned, we needed God. We were created for communion with God, for God to counsel us. We were created for communion and counsel with God. But that was severed by sin. And now, but now through Jesus Christ, we can be reconciled to God. We can now receive His counsel again and regain access to Him. Then here comes the second part. Verse 18. So as soon as it says that all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Immediately after you're reconciled to God, as you're given that reconciliation, that restored relationship, immediately you're given the ministry of reconciliation to go tell other people how to be reconciled to God, which is their greatest need. It goes on down. Given to us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. If you've been reconciled to God, and I pray that every person under this pavilion has, if you've been reconciled to God, if you've been saved, born again, forgiven of your sin, Christ is your Savior and He is your Lord. You can't have Him just as Savior. If He's not your Lord, He's not your Savior. He is your Savior. He saved you from your sin, but He's also your Master and your Lord. He runs the show, not you. Okay? If Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, if you've been reconciled to Him, you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. As we're gathered here this morning, this is not a collection. We misunderstand this setting. This is not a collection of people listening to a minister. This is a collection of ministers. You're a minister. I believe in the priesthood of the believer. I think you're a minister of reconciliation. I believe you're an ambassador of Christ. I believe a 7 or 8 year old child gathered right here that knows Christ is a minister of reconciliation, an ambassador for Christ. If you've been reconciled, immediately you are a minister of reconciliation. This is a collection of ministers. A collection of ministers of reconciliation. You are counselors. You are a counselor. You are called to engage the world and counsel them with true counsel. Every one of you, Christians are called to be counselors. How is your counseling going? You're a minister. How's your ministry going? We come together like this to strengthen your ministry. Because I look at this little group of maybe 70, 75 people. Thousands, I won't even say hundreds, thousands of lives are touched by the people gathered right here. But you have to be a minister within your circle, within your group. My group is not your group. Your circle is not my circle. You're in the middle of that circle. You need to be a minister and a counselor of true counsel. And as I say that, I've been talking about this for a few months now. How does the church play into that? You all are the counselors. You all are the ministers. This church exists to equip you for the work of the ministry. Not to do the ministry, but to equip you for the work of the ministry. And what I want to offer this morning is I want to offer to counsel with counselors. To counsel the counselors. If you're here this morning and you're struggling with things and saying, my ministry isn't going well, I can't counsel the people, I've hit a brick wall. There's something in my life, there's something that's keeping me from doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I've hit a brick wall, I want to counsel with you. I want to counsel you because you're a counselor and we need you counseling others. You're a minister. I want to minister to you because you are a minister. We need you ministering to others as effectively, as powerfully as possible. And I'm willing to sit down and schedule a session. We can meet at the church. We can meet other places. I'm willing to sit down and talk with you for an hour. Maybe we meet once a week, twice a week, maybe a couple weeks, whatever it takes, as we sit down and really get to the heart of the issue, because I need you to be able to go out and minister. Just this right here by itself will not cut it. And we're seeing that. You have the truth. You can be a counselor. I already see that in our church. This is a church of ministers. I talk to people. You guys get opportunities as great or greater than me throughout the week. It would blow your mind. A little country church like this, it would blow your mind how far-reaching the ministry of this church is through you. every week people talk to me about things. I'm like, you know, Tori was sharing with me in the parking lot about a lady she got to meet and talk with this week. I was like, hallelujah. You know what? I thought about that. I thought, man, I would love to be able to talk with this lady. But you know what? Tori's better equipped to talk with this young lady than I am. God has put his minister where he wants her to be, in that office talking with this lady. Not me, Tori. The same is true for everybody else gathered here. You are a minister. You are a counselor. We've bought into this lie, this mentality of saying, well, no, we got to leave that to the experts. I don't have a PhD in psychology. Thank God you don't. It's insanity. It's literally insanity. Thank God. Okay, good, there's hope for you. Maybe you can counsel people. Counsel them with truth. A thorough knowledge of the Word of God. Strong, deep-rooted theology. That's what people need. Modern psychology is insanity. It's insanity. You are qualified to talk to people. You are an expert if you have the Word of God. But understand this, again, not your opinions. You have to know the Word of God. You have to study the Word of God. Study like you're going to use it. Day and night, meditating on it day and night. Number one, for your relationship with God to be strengthened and cultivated and to make you strong to talk to other people. I'm saying I want to counsel with the counselors. If there's ladies here who need to get together and counsel, Jana can come with me. I talked to Kenny, I talked to Mom, others who can sit down with us. We can have counseling sessions. And I tell you, we can really get down to the nitty-gritty there and just be honest and open. I'll say this, there's a lot of problems. Good. I want problems. I want messes. I want questions. I want adversity. Suffering, success. I believe that we are equipped to deal with anything that this world throws at us as Christians. I think Christ has equipped us and he modeled it for us. Christ was ready for anything. And he can mentor us and help us to grow to where we can be ready for anything. I want to counsel the counselors, but I want you to understand this morning as we close this morning, you are a counselor and you are a minister. I'm going to ask Bill if you would to come ask everybody to stand if you would. And going back to my original question, how do we serve our country? I love this country. I pray for this country. I want to see this country thrive. I want to see our society thrive. I want to see our community thrive. How to serve our country. As I think about the 4th of July, I think about our nation, I think about our society. How to serve our country. The best thing I can do for my country, for my state, for my community, is to fully follow Christ. The best thing I can do for my workplace, for my family, for my church, in any setting, for my world, in any and every setting, for every relationship, the best brother I can be, the best father I can be, the best husband I can be, the best friend that I can be, is if I fully follow Christ. That's what my friends need. They need a person who is fully following Christ, who can sit down with them and they say, you don't understand, it's such a disaster, such a mess. Try me. Try me. Christ can solve it. And I'm not saying this is the peace and prosperity lie, the peace and prosperity gospel. I'm not saying that Christ is going to come in your life and all your problems will be solved and you'll be a healthy millionaire. That's a shallow understanding. I'm saying that you can even have joy in suffering. Because $1 million cannot protect you and insulate you from suffering. Suffering is going to come. Sickness is going to come. Christ can make you ready for it. He can make you like a tree that's planted by waters, that produces fruit, that has deep roots, that is strong. Let the storm come. Let the drought come. Let prosperity come. Let the rains, let the sun come. It's going to grow and it's going to thrive in every setting. That's the difference. Or you can be like the chaff, blown away by everything. I want us to be like a tree, planted, firm, producing fruit. The best thing I can do for my country, the best way to serve my country is to fully follow Jesus Christ and to call others to follow Him. And He has told us this. You know, He is the wonderful counselor. He's the counselor. I'm an under-counselor. I'm an under-shepherd. You know, He is the counselor. And getting you in touch with Him, I've gone in my prayer room so many times, I didn't know what to do. I was overwhelmed. I was dealing with anxiety, with depression, completely overwhelmed. And I spent 30 minutes to an hour with the wonderful counselor. And I came out and I knew exactly what to do. and I was ready to face the day. I strongly encourage you, counsel with Him every single morning. I'm going to talk to Him before I talk to anybody else. He's my counselor. Go directly to Him. But if I can be of help to you, we'll go to Him together. I'll try to help you any way that I can. I'll counsel you as counselors. I'll counsel the counselors so that you can be strong to go out into this world and to give counsel in the truth to this nation, to our society, to this world, to our community. Understand this, He's with us. He's with us. This song's going to be beautiful. It flows right with what I'm saying. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him. But with Him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is with us. He said, "Lo, I will be with you always." In the context of the Great Commission, all power and authority is given to Him. Go therefore and make disciples. Go counsel the world in the truth. And I'm with you every step of the way. And I will be with you forever, always, even until the end of the age. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you. I'll tell you what to say. If you'll surrender yourself to me, I'll tell you what advice to give. I'll tell you how to counsel people if you'll surrender fully to Him. As we sing together, if you need to come and pray, come and talk to Him right now. I certainly want to give you the opportunity to do that. We can kneel down here at these chairs and kneel down here and pray together. Stand right here and pray together. If you need to pray this morning, I'll pray with you about anything. And understand the first step is this: without Christ, forget it. You have to have Christ. Do you have Him? Because without Him, it's over. Without Him, you can't do anything. As we sing this together, if you need to come and pray, I encourage you to come.